football on Off the Ball.
They can no longer dominate the ball, and the fear factor from City is gone, but they'll still finish second or third.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock this evening, kicking things off from 7:30 with Anna Capeless on the line. She's going to look ahead to the heavyweight clash, really, in the Women's World Cup final. It might have seemed like a bit of a shock that Canada beat New Zealand last week, but Canada are actually ranked ahead of them in the world ranking. So it's first in the world against second in the world at Twickenham on Saturday in the Rugby World Cup final, Canada against England. So Anna will preview that. She's also officially confirmed that she won't be playing rugby again. So we'll speak to her again about her retirement, I guess, which is official at this point. From 8 o'clock, Nathan Murphy is going to bring us on an aural journey through the last few Ryder Cups. Medina to today, basically. A lot of Rory McIlroy, bit of Phil Mickelson, bit of Tom Watson in there. And we'll brush up all our facts on the beef between the two teams, certainly after the last Ryder Cup 2 years ago. Kevin Kilbane and Glenn Whelan, meanwhile, are going to join us together from 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about football taking on more of an old school look over the last couple of weeks with them from 9 to 10. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill is in studio. Hello, Cameron.
Good evening, Owen.
And Nathan Murphy is here. Hello, Nathan.
How are you?
Very well. I was doing what I always do at the start of my day. I was scrolling through Mayo News online. Went onto the sports section. Good collection of sport there from...
What do you got?
Mayo GAA star nominated for 2025 All-Star.
Good Ballyhonus, man. Great day for Ballyhonus.
Great day for remembering when a Super Bowl winner and MVP was spotted in Mayo.
Sorry, what?
Who
was that?
Open a new tab. Mayo GAA star learns position ahead of huge AFL Grand Final. It is a big weekend for Mayo. What is the story with the NFL player in Mayo? I don't know. I'll read through it while you're talking there.
We could just not do a news round and do a Mayo news round in future.
But the top story mayonews.ie/sport, Mayo broadcaster appointed managing director of national radio station. And it's a picture of a dashing fella presenting at the SSE Electricity Soccer Writers Ireland Personality of the Year Award. And you open up the headline and the subheadline, and it says the Ballyhonus man will lead the audience growth strategy for the station, having been involved with the company since 2006. Well-known Mayo sports figure Nathan Murphy has been appointed as managing director of Today FM. Congratulations, Nathan. The Ballyhonus native will oversee it.
It's news to several people in the group that I'm now going to be the managing director.
The Ballyhonus native will oversee the audience growth strategy for the company. Well done. He's well known in both national and local circles. Ooh. He started out as a sports reporter.
Is there a tone to that line?
He started out as a sports reporter at Today FM in 2006 before making the move to Off the Ball on Newstalk. Since then, he's been a staple of the airwaves, helping to bring both national and international sports stories to the Irish public. And on it goes. It's official now. It's in the Mayo News. No going back.
You're officially well known.
Officially well known.
Wow.
Well known. Sports radio figure, it says at the start, because sports figure, I think, would be incorrect.
Hmm.
Sports radio we can do. I don't think I'm known throughout Mayo for my sporting ability.
Well, have you inserted...
I also don't think I'm going to be the managing director. I think there's a difference, is there, in pay scale between managing director and managing editor?
There tends to
be. But I think if that mistake has come from the very top, I'm in luck here.
You could be a well-known sports figure if you had inserted yourself into any sports stories during your career, which of course you haven't. You've always kept a professional distance between you and your subject.
Wow. Go for it. What have you got for me?
I actually have no examples.
I'm coming back, by the way, when the inevitable happens on for that Monday.
Well, we're Mayo in the All-Ireland.
I'll be there in Castlebar. Don't you worry.
We'll see. I mean, we'll take you back with open arms for that week. Mark Rypien was of the Washington team that reached the pinnacle in the 1992 during the Super Bowl. Was it 26 season? The Calgary native was the first ever Canadian quarterback to win the competition. And in August, he was seen taking in the wonders of the other side of the Atlantic as he called into O'Donoghue's Bakery in Belmullet.
Wow.
So there you go.
I can see why Nathan might have trumped that story, to be honest.
I don't know if I did.
It's certainly above it. It's certainly above it.
I'm above Oisín Mullen right now, but a big weekend for Oisín Mullen. So if he gets the win,
he might
not
be
relegated.
Have you been to O'Donoghue's Bakery in Belmullet?
I haven't been to Belmullet for many an old year at this stage. Belmullet's about 2 hours from Ballyhonus. Yeah. It's a good trek.
Yeah.
Good county, you know?
It is.
That's why you've got such a top class Mayo News website with so much news to get through.
Such a wide array of stars that are
multiple traitorous stars spotted a popular Mayo restaurant.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No. Well, one of the traitors owns a restaurant in Mayo, so I'm presuming that's where they were.
Were you satisfied with the ending to the traitors?
Yeah, I think we're free to talk about it, aren't we now?
Yeah,
there was a debate in the office about this, and I'm like, we're sort of, the modern world is, if you miss it, you've missed it. Tough.
I couldn't even leave it an hour until watching it because it would be ruined by Instagram.
Yeah, I thought they were three worthy winners. Mm-hmm. And I think we could all agree we didn't want Patrick. No, not Patrick. Nick. I actually mentioned this to my wife watching it on the couch.
I know like none of these guys' names.
I was like, the real test would be how many of their names can you remember past 2 days ago?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Why do you think it was such a success?
Well, it's a brilliant concept in the first place. So the BBC version is top class.
Yeah.
There was a definite Irishness to it and an Irishness to the way they spoke, which is like we like to, you can have a good bitch around your best mate's back and they still be your best mate and you think they're the greatest person in the world, but that doesn't mean you're not going to say, yeah, I'll think about them here or there.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is the case in many of the other ones. And I think that came across quite well of, oh yeah, great lad, but sure, I'm going to throw him under the bus here.
However, then when
he did seem to relish the throwing people under the bus more than the other ones I've seen.
Yeah, I think that there was the face-to-face confrontation. I think it probably exposed a level of discomfort within Irish people at that. There was like a very personal edge to everything. You've accused me of trying to win this game, therefore I'm going to be deeply offended.
Well, the difficulty with any of these programs in this country has always been the same, which is that the country is so small, so when there was a negative reaction to the way some people behaved, it ends up being far more personal than it would be in Britain, where you can go off and be somewhat anonymous and never see anybody again. Yeah. Whereas, you know, people know where these people work and where they live and who their mates are and all of that. And I wonder, will that impact season two, the public reaction and some of the criticism that people got throughout it?
Potentially, but I think the criticism...
Fame will outweigh it.
I think the fame has totally outweighed it.
Celebrity Traitors are starting.
On BBC soon,
next week.
Yep, that should be very, very good. And also the Irish one is going to be on the BBC iPlayer, so they're going to get international notoriety, everybody that was in that, over the next couple of months. But you have, you know, consumed them. You've consumed everybody else in the Mayo news world today because you are top of the agenda on their website. One other thing we wanted to touch on before we get to the news round. 25 years ago today, this happened.
O'Sullivan has to respond. O'Sullivan attacks Szabo. It's again like the European in Budapest. O'Sullivan and Szabo. And O'Sullivan hits the front on tries and Szabo responds again. It's between these two now. Sonia has to go. O'Sullivan against Szabo. She comes again. She's got the finish. Gabriela Szabo hits Budapest all over again. Sonia O'Sullivan against Szabo. Who's going to get there? Szabo digs deep. O'Sullivan attacks. It's a big race between the two. Sonia O'Sullivan comes again. Szabo holds on grimly. What a finish to the 5,000 metres. Szabo's holding on. O'Sullivan's going to drive for that line. But Gabriela Szabo's the Olympic champion. Sonia O'Sullivan is beaten on the line. What a fantastic final lap. What an astonishing achievement by Gabriela Szabo. But what a response from Sonia O'Sullivan.
Over to you, Nathan, as the one person in the studio who has vivid memories of this day.
You don't remember this?
I do, to be fair. I remember being at home weirdly watching this, even though I was 6 years old.
Six.
And
wow.
Should have been in school. It was 25th of September. I've seen people talk about TV on wheels today. Like, why? I don't understand why I was watching this at home. Maybe I was given the day off to watch this great sports moment that was supposed to be a gold medal.
Yeah, I was in, I'd just started college at the time. So obviously we took the day off to honour this occasion. And watching it back today, it's hard not to be right back there and know exactly what your reaction is, which is fully off your seat, just roaring at the TV. And that weird moment where she crosses the line where you're not quite, you're almost waiting for Sonia's reaction before you can react as to, is she satisfied with this? Like Sonia at the period, well, I suppose Michelle Smith is coming through at the same period as well. I was going to say Sonia is the most famous woman in Ireland at that moment. And Gabriela Szabo is the second most famous woman in Ireland. Like we're all obsessed with this person as to what's she going to do to Sonia? Is she going to deny Sonia? And after what had happened 4 years previously in 96 and just probably one of the disappointing, most disappointing couple of weeks that we'd ever had for Irish sport with what had happened to Sonia, for her to get that moment, it was right up there. It was it was one of the greatest moments I think we've had. And Mick sort of touched on it earlier in the week about the way athletics grabs us and still grabs us, but even more back then, the relationship that we had with our top athletes and that connection and how special it was for them and what it meant to everybody for Sonia to get that silver medal.
Yeah, and also when we kind of luxuriate in how great this World Championships was, and maybe even last year when all those medals were won at Europeans and Worlds, in terms of indoor athletics going into an Olympic year, it still stands out as the athletics moment of the century because it is at an Olympic Games. Like, the Irish athletes have either been out of form or maybe a little bit injured when it comes to the big show, or we've just been very unlucky. Like last year, 2 fourth-place finishes in finals in 400 metres and 400 metre relay. So it still stands alone for everybody, really, unless people go back a few more generations to I don't know, Ronnie Delaney, when it comes to athletics moments at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, and I don't think too many of us are remembering that right now. So 6 years of age, wow. That must have left a...
Why wasn't I at school? What's going on there? I remember watching it.
This is a great reflection on your upbringing. That yeah. There was that awareness of, we want this guy.
Born in history, yeah.
We want him to be able to witness this, to remember this.
Couldn't be arsed bringing him to school. It's like, nah, you can sit.
Park in front of the TV there.
Yeah, you can sit at home and watch TV for the day.
You'll be fine.
I ain't leaving the
That's
house.
Your real teacher.
0879 180 180 is our number if you want to get in touch on WhatsApp. And the news round is brought to you with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Where are you starting, Cameron?
Well, UEFA, Owen, are moving towards holding a vote next week on whether to suspend Israeli sides from their competitions. This story was originally in The Times by Martin Ziegler today, and he has said that the majority of the executive committee are understood to be in favour of the ban, pointing out that Russia had been banned from European competitions since its invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Now, the body is planning to hold an extraordinary meeting of their executive committee, but nothing has been firmly scheduled yet. Earlier this month, the FAI made representations to both UEFA and FIFA over Israel's participation in European competitions amid the country's ongoing attacks on Gaza.
Yeah, it's interesting on a political level here because FIFA are not going to suspend Israel because of Infantino and Donald Trump being best buds at the moment. But does this then mean that Israel can't qualify for FIFA's competition because they have to go through UEFA to qualify for FIFA's competition next year and automatically rule them out? Like, the movement is definitely clear at this point. Like, Spain's stance last week on potentially not playing at the World Cup next year if Israel are to be a part of it was really, really strong. So all of a sudden, the tide is starting to shift here, small bit.
Well, that's the only thing it feels that can really push this further forward, when the United States have made it clear that they are going to intervene, that they are going to put that level of pressure on FIFA if they make any attempts to ban Israel from the World Cup. But if you're facing a scenario where many of the teams are refusing to even go to the World Cup, it will obviously put the future of the tournament in massive doubt. And maybe that's the moment where FIFA feel they simply have to act. Or is it? And it's mad and ridiculous to even think that we're talking like that of a World Cup going ahead without some of the best teams, some of the most important countries. But if that's the stand they feel that they can take and that they're willing to take, you would assume that FIFA would eventually buckle, despite whatever pressure is there from the US.
It feels like UEFA might act independently of what FIFA want. I mean, like, that relationship between Infantino and Jeffern isn't great anyway. So it feels like they're going to press on regardless of what Infantino or Donald Trump or the FIFA executive board kind of instruct. Like, last night, PAOK played Maccabi Tel Aviv and showed a banner similar to what we saw when the Republic of Ireland played Hungary this year, of show Israel the red card, like earlier this month, in fact. So there's a growing movement here of clubs very, very reluctant to play Israeli sides. Martin Ziegler points it out that last month several European clubs had asked UEFA if there was any way they could avoid playing Israeli opponents. This is going to come to a head, and it seems like if they have a vote next week, that'll be very soon indeed.
Yeah, so let's see how this plays out. I see as well the cycling story has reached its new stage as well, where they're just going to drop the word Israel from Israel Premier Tech. So just alter the name and everything will be fine. Is there going to be a world here where UEFA bans Israel and there'll be a sort of collection of Israeli players playing under, you know, a white flag or something like that. I don't know. There might be ways around this, I suspect, from an Israeli standpoint. What do you have next for us, Cameron?
Well, Luke Donald and Keegan Bradley will confirm their pairings tonight for the first round of the Ryder Cup, which starts tomorrow. Golf fans are hoping to see Team Europe's Rory McIlroy go up against rival Bryson DeChambeau. McIlroy says he'd be happy to meet the American big hitter at some point in New York this weekend. The Masters champion is also well aware of the task Europe have on their hands at BetPlay. Age Black.
You know, basically since 2012, you look at the results of the Ryder Cup, the home team has won every time, but they also have won convincingly. You know, it's been pretty one-sided either way. So, you know, whatever team, whether that's Europe or America, that is the one to break that that duck, I think is honestly is going to go down as one of the best teams in Ryder Cup history. And, you know, Luke said it in his opening remarks yesterday, but we are here and we are playing for history, and we're playing for the players that came before us and the, you know, the people that basically laid the foundations for what the European Ryder Cup team are. But we're also playing for the guys that are going to come behind us as well, and, you know, the young boys that are dreaming of becoming European Ryder Cup players. You know, we want to try to leave a legacy for them as well. So we have a wonderful opportunity this week, but we also understand it's going to be very difficult.
Now, those pairings are due to be announced this evening at 9 o'clock Irish time. Shane Lowry was also speaking this afternoon, and he stressed he will do his best to keep his emotions in check, but explained just how much the Ryder Cup means to him.
It's just a big deal for me. Like, you know, I am who I am. Like I said it there, I have to be myself. Like, I am who I am. I love this. This is what I live for. This is what I play golf for now. I don't not care about anything else, but it's like literally like this is it. Like, this is what I play for. And as soon as we finish here Sunday evening, I'll be thinking about Adair Manor. Like, it's just who I am. And, you know, I've been around a long time in the game, and I feel like, you know, I've achieved a certain amount of stuff that I've really, you know, been lucky to achieve. And I put this up there, you know, a win this week would be up there with all of that. And obviously, to compete in Adair Manor as well would be incredible. So, yeah, like, I do build it up a lot. I mean, it might get in the way a little bit the odd time in certain events, but I think I'm mature enough and I've been good enough at kind of keeping it sort of, yes, wanting it a lot, but then keeping it to the, you know, back of my mind as well.
What's your dream matchup tomorrow morning or Friday morning? Like, in terms of popcorn, in terms of potential heat between rival players?
Well, I think you'd love to see Rory and Fleetwood go out against Bryson.
Rory versus Bryson in any capacity is what you want.
Is there
Bryson-Fleetwood beef?
No, I don't think Tommy Fleetwood could have beef with anybody. He's just too nice a guy.
Yeah.
Rory and Shane have been actually paired together for the practice round today. Now, the weather's not great, so I don't think they're going to get too much. But I wonder, is there a possibility of them maybe playing in the four balls in the afternoon together? Lowry last time out only played foursomes, and he played with Sepp Straka. Sepp Straka hasn't played much golf lately. He had a premature baby and sort of stepped away for a few weeks, but he's back. But I wonder, does that mean maybe Lowry will step out of the foursomes and they might put Justin Rose and Bob McIntyre in? But they won 4-0 last time on the foursomes, so I can't imagine they're going to stray too far away from that. And the feeling seems to be that the Americans might go with Bryson first out, just to really lean into that home crowd.
Who's going to partner Bryson?
Ben Griffin, possibly, right, who's one of the rookies who's had a really good season. You might have seen the clip of Brandel Chambly saying that Bryson is a captain's worst nightmare, but it might be a bit extreme. I think there's probably a point that he's arguably their second best player, maybe their third best player, but there's no real natural fit.
Wasn't the most interesting thing that Brandel said about Bryson this week?
About the bots.
Bots watching his channel. Is this true?
No, I don't think so. I think there's bots watching every channel. There might be bots watching us right now and pumping up our figures, but anybody who, and I know this from personal experience, anybody who has a kid who's interested in golf is obsessed with watching Bryson and Bryson's YouTube channel. Like, there's no question he's miles ahead of everybody else. So maybe they are somehow beefed up by certain bots, but he's still paving a path that nobody else has gone down in terms of what he does on social.
Cameron, do you want to run us through the rugby stories today before we wrap up?
Yeah, so Luke McGrath will captain Leinster for Friday's URC opener away to the Stormers. A really strong side named by head coach Leo Cullen today. Sam Prendergast starting at out half. Kieran Frawley and Robbie Henshaw, the centre pairing. Munster, meanwhile, return to action with a number of frontliners for their trip to Scarlets on Saturday. Fresh from captaining Ireland during the summer tour, Craig Casey will skipper the province at 9. While James Humes will make his 100 appearance for Ulster, he's partnering Stuart McCloskey in their game at the Dragons tomorrow evening. Just one more story before we go. Dervla Brady claimed bronze today at the World Para Swimming Championships in Singapore. It's a first ever world medal for the Derry teenager. She finished third in the S6 50 metres freestyles final this morning.
Sadly, we don't have time for the story where Donegal got more All-Star nominations than Kerry. You know, may as well take Sam McGuire off Kerry now and bring it up to the hills.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I'm ready for 2026. That. Obviously, the All-Star committee have said, Kerry, you've got to win the All-Ireland, but you've got to win it better. Ooh. Next year.
Is that what you're taking Tommy Rooney saying to you?
100%.
And people.
I think it was in the statement actually from the selection committee.
Go on, give us a...
Back in your box, Kerry, is what it said.
Give us the reaction of the Kerry Mafia. What's on the WhatsApp group? How over the top is it going?
It's been over the top. It's been measured with words such as disgrace and abomination. Just the truth, basically.
Is this going back to my traders conversation that the judging panel should be concerned that it's a small country, people know where these guys hang out
and live,
club games on a Saturday and Sunday,
yep,
that they're easily accessible?
100%. I'm actually going to go.
Don't be going to the Kerry County final if you're on that judging panel.
Now.
I'm going to try and meet Tommy Rooney at some point over the next couple of days before the actual nominations come out, just to try and...
In a public place,
just to try and tell him, you know, the consequences of what might happen.
If they get more All-Stars. Cheer, one man team.
Oh. And that was the final thing he ever said.
One family team.
Nathan, thank you very much. You're actually going to be back with us after 8 o'clock and after 9 o'clock. We're going to get so much Nathan Murphy on tonight's show because we're going to be doing the best of the Ryder Cup post Medina until today. Nathan's got an encyclopedic knowledge of the Ryder Cup, so everything post 2012 until the Ryder Cup of 2 years ago, just to refresh our memories of what the context is going into this year at Bethpage Black. After 9 o'clock then as well, we'll have Glenn Whelan and Kevin Kilbane with us for the football show. Up next is Anna Capeless, Cameron Hill, thank you. And before all that, it's the Cash Machine.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.